to me, this is the dream for me as a consultant, is I want to get my clients, you know, they hire an out external consultant because it's not a good time to bring in or start a marketing department internally. And my goal is to always let's have you grow up to the point that it's time to hire an internal person. And so those are the things that are bringing me a lot of excitement right now, is I'm helping these organizations start their marketing departments, because this is a big deal.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. I'm your host, Seth Silvers, and on today's episode, we're diving into a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, which is communications and marketing. I got into this business because I hate what marketing is and because I love what it could be. And so that's some of what we're going to talk about today. And to do that, I have the founder of Evergreen Strategic Communications with me, Emily Heck. Emily, how are you doing today?
Thank you, Seth. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Good. Wonderful to have you here on the show. And again, we're going to talk about communications. I think this is such a critical piece of any business and such a pain point. I think any business owner knows we should be doing more communications, or they have a lot of should statements around communications and marketing. But I'm curious, how did you get into this space? Give us a little bit of your story.
Yeah, so my journey started, I graduated from university with a public relations degree, and worked for a nonprofit here in Indianapolis, Indiana, a fairly good sized nonprofit. I worked for the Boy Scouts of America. And during that time, they were going through some media crises on a national level and a local level. And I realized I don't want to do public relations. I don't want to be dealing with the media day in and day out. And so I shifted more to a marketing perspective, which of course, now we know that public relations and marketing and communications all kind of just have merged together. And it's very rare to find an organization that has a marketing department and a PR department. But I gravitated more towards the marketing side and focused a lot on recruitment of youth into the Boy Scouts, into the Boy Scout program. But then also on the other side, found a lot of what I loved was talking with donors and fundraising marketing, and how to encourage people to give either their, you know, time or energy or money to a specific organization. So that's where I started several years ago. And then I spent some time in higher education marketing, focusing again on fundraising marketing, and just really enjoyed that time. And when I started my business in 2019, I knew, you know, when you start a business, it's really broad. You're like, I'm going to serve whoever will give me money.
Yeah. Everybody needs what I can do.
Right. and then as the years have progressed, and I'm focusing in more on nonprofits and what I'm calling purpose-driven small businesses. I know it's a very common word, but small businesses who don't fall in that nonprofit category, but are also really focused on, being purposeful in their work and being mindful in their work and, you know, maybe going out and changing the world.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is particularly important for that segment of the business and organization world, like this small purpose-driven business? Why is it particularly important for them to be really thinking through their communication in a more unique way than maybe a Fortune 500 company would be?
I mean, these purpose-driven small businesses, they have a unique hook, if you will. I mean, I don't love the word, you know, I've got a good hook, but I mean, they are doing some really amazing things that is different than just selling a product. You know, I have a client that is a hospice company, and we talk about caregiving all the time and compassionate caregiving. And yes, they are making a profit, that, you know, that is what they do, but their mission in life is to provide compassionate caregiving to their patients and the patients' families. And so it's so important, I think, for those types of businesses that have that kind of angle that we can work, and use and elevate, to really focus on their marketing communications, because they aren't just a random small business that's popped up. They have a mission, they have a purpose. They are really trying to touch hearts as well as wallets. And you know, I enjoy lifting them up and helping to elevate them.
Right. Do you run into this tension where, especially in the nonprofit space, of like, okay, we either need to make an impact or make money. Mm-hmm. And how do you help your clients navigate that?
Yeah. So it's funny, and with my nonprofit clients, if it's a really solid nonprofit, it is all about impact, because they've kind of figured out the money side and the cycle of money. And it's more about how can we be sharing our story better? So I'm very rarely having those money conversations, just because they are at a point in the life cycle of their organization where it's, we're going to start talking about storytelling, and know that if we are sharing those stories of impact, then the gifts will follow, because right, we have engaged with our donors, we've engaged with the public. On the small business side of it, it's a little bit different, because they do need to watch the bottom line. And that's just the nature of business. So those questions are coming, are popping up more often, but you know, it's getting back to, we need to share your story and the good things that you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, for a while, I always saw myself going into the nonprofit space and going more into like ministry and community work. And I kind of thought that you had to pick, like, do you want to make an impact or do you want to make money? Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty big moment for me when like the line between like nonprofit or ministry work and business kind of evaporated. And when I realized like, well, my skill set lends more towards the business space. You know, we can use business as a tool. We can use marketing as a tool to make an impact. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to grasp, grasp sometimes, but I'd love to read a piece of your website, because as communications company, I imagine you put thought into this, and I really liked something that you said on it. You said, we've all seen it, brands shouting at their customers on social media or sending pointless newsletters. No one is paying attention or even cares. I've been there and it's frustrating, but I've figured out how to overcome those hurdles to not only grow audience engagement, but an organization. It's not easy and there's no quick fix. Tell me about some of your story where it sounds like there was some frustration with what's like the traditional, like, here's how you market and communicate. And what were some of the light bulbs that went off in those frustrating moments that made you want to change things?
Yeah, I think I can remember, you know, back early in my career, it was the dreaded monthly newsletter of, okay, we've got to get this email newsletter out. I think at one point I was doing three different audiences at one time each month. And for those that have done newsletters, like, you can get into a rotation that it's a pretty quick task on your to-do list, but when you're doing three and trying to come up with content for three different things, it's tough and it's time consuming. And I think I got to a point of, why are we doing this? And really started to dive into data. I think that's where I found that I kind of enjoy looking at data and seeing what's driving our data. And it was like, no one's reading this. No one's clicking on it. I had a member of the staff who, he wanted his content in that newsletter each time. And I started to look through it and it was almost kind of brash about, you know, I need my content in there. And I went to him and I said, no one's clicking on anything that we're putting in there, in your section. And so that's where I kind of got to the point of, not we don't need to be doing things just to be doing things. You know, newsletters were a big thing then. Everyone had a newsletter. If you didn't have a newsletter, what are you doing in your marketing? Where that's obviously shifted a little bit. And I think that's what shifted for me of, we don't need to be doing a newsletter just to always be doing a newsletter. And, you know, right now a big thing that I'm talking to my clients about, it's nothing new. It's just, it's something that's popped up here this year for them, is repurposing content. We don't need to put crazy amount of energy into new content each month. How can we repurpose it? We're, you know, if we're getting a photographer, a videographer, a writer, a, you know, graphic designer to all, you know, put their time and energy into one story, one impact story, then we need to really extend the life of that. And so I think that's what I really meant about, you know, with that statement of, let's be really mindful of how we're marketing. Let's be mindful of how we're talking with our audiences, because just shouting at them is not going to get us where we need to be. And so I always try to infuse mindfulness and be really intentional in my marketing strategies and how I work with clients to prevent that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to look at the phases and like how communication has shifted to where, you know, in like the middle of the last century when, you know, there was like magazines, it was like, that was how people found out about products. Mm-hmm. Like pretty much if you were first, then you won. Like if you were the first brand, if you were the first vacuum, and you know, that's like, that's why AAA is called AAA, is because, well, what's going to show up before ABC insurance? Well, AAA insurance, it's more alphabetical. And so it's like, there wasn't much strategy to it. And then, you know, we have all of the technology kind of boom, and now everybody just starts shouting at each other. And now I think it's shifting this way. I hope it is. At least I might just be an optimist because of you and I's profession, but I see things shifting towards where I get to find the brands that I want to connect with based on values. And I get to pick companies based off the storytelling and based off of how they're making an impact. And my options, yes, it requires a little bit more research on my end, but I can actually choose. So how have you seen like communication shift, maybe just in the last couple of years? The last couple of years has been very wild with the pandemic and whatnot, but maybe since you started in 2019, how are you seeing and observing communication shift?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up this topic, because I teach undergraduate courses here at the University of Indianapolis, and we have talked at length about this semester, my students, because they're really interested in it. You know, when we talk about brands, when I ask them to bring up brands of, you know, just say an athletic apparel company, they're not bringing up the Nikes, the Under Armours, the big giants of the world. They're bringing up these smaller organizations that they may have come across on Instagram or TikTok or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about that with influencer marketing and the place that it has and the purpose that it has. And that is what I'm seeing a lot of it and what I'm experiencing a lot of, maybe not necessarily with my clients on a smaller scale, on a nonprofit or a small business scale. But like you said, there is a generation or a couple generations right now that have some major buying power that are choosing brands based on values or what they're seeing. And it's not what they're seeing on a billboard or what they're seeing in a magazine or, you know, whatever, or even in an email newsletter. It's what they're seeing on social media and how they're connecting, or how are they connecting with the influencer that is promoting that product. And so it's a big topic on their mind. I mean, they're Gen Z. I'm a millennial. And so it's interesting that shift is happening. It'll be interesting to see how nonprofits and small business, they tend to be a few years behind the major trends. It'll be interesting in the next few years to see how our strategies for those of us that are working with those organizations, how ours adjust to that trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really well said. I'm curious to who some examples are that stand out for you, whether they're people there in Indianapolis that you love and businesses that we might not know about, or businesses that you're seeing on a larger scale, or nonprofits that you just think they're doing a really good job with communications and with marketing and with being authentic in how they communicate. Who are some that stand out to you?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me, because when you think about it, I feel like my brain right now is a soup bowl of brands, and I'm having a hard time having one come up to the top of my mind. But there is one that my students, that it just keeps coming up in front of me, and that's Athletic Greens. I actually have not dove in to figure out what they're all about, but my students have brought them up. My husband has brought them up to me. I've seen them come across on my own social media channels, and it's interesting because their strategy is very complex, I would say. So my husband's social media channels is obviously very different than my social media channels, which is very different than my Gen Z students' social media channels. But somehow they are integrating themselves into all of those audiences, and they're being well received, which is very different. I mean, how can me at 30 something well receive something that my 21 year old college student also well received? And so I need to spend some time and actually dive in and look at their strategy a little bit more from an outside perspective, but they keep coming up on my radar, and they're definitely piquing my interest.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've heard about them a lot through podcasting because they're a huge advertiser in the podcasting space. And I think that they've done a really good job of aligning with people that align with their product and then, you know, sponsoring through them. So, you know, I know off the top of my head, like, and these aren't even all podcasters I listen to regularly, but I know that Athletic Greens sponsors Tim Ferriss. I know they sponsor Joe Rogan. I know they sponsor a lot of these people that, like, the lifestyle they're living are lifestyles that, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, well, I want to be more like that person, and they're doing it. And it's funny too, because they're often not, it's not the ads that I can recall, they're host read and they're not short. They're usually like 2 to 3 minute long ads where this person's talking about their lifestyle and talking about what Athletic Greens is and also talking about, you know, why it's valuable to them. And it's just so interesting because it's like, that's not going to fit in a Super Bowl commercial.
Right.
like that's not how it works. So yeah, I think that's a really good example of somebody who's, they've figured it out. They've connected well.
It's interesting. You and I can kind of nerd out on their marketing strategy and not even talk about the product part of it. It's like, wow, you guys are doing good stuff.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know their product is, I know it's like twice as expensive as the green stuff that I get at Costco.
Right.
So, but they're still doing really, really well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think that's a good example. What about some of the clients that you're working with now? You mentioned, you know, some of the nonprofit organizations. What are some clients that you feel like really, really proud of your work, but also just that the work they're doing and how they're communicating it, probably partially because of your advice and your work, is just something you love and you're excited about?
Yeah, I have a few clients right now that we are working on setting up their marketing departments. And to me, this is the dream for me as a consultant, is I want to get my clients, you know, they hire an external consultant because it's not a good time to bring in start a marketing department internally. And my goal is to always let's have you grow up to the point that it's time to hire an internal person. And so those are the things that are bringing me a lot of excitement right now, is I'm helping these organizations start their marketing departments, because this is a big deal. I mean, not every small business or nonprofit can do this, but if, you know, we've worked hard the past few years to grow their marketing, to grow their brand awareness, that their marketing has become a machine, and I'm ready to hand it off and say, you know, fly a little birdie kind of thing. And it's also interesting that during the pandemic, I can't tell you how many conversations I had in late 2020 or early 2021 of, you know, the shutdown just killed us, or, you know, the quarantines were just brutal for business for us. We've got to focus on marketing. And so myself, or, you know, colleagues that I work with, are being brought in to start their marketing. And so we've been working on it for about a year now, and things are starting to click and starting to really move. And you know, and that's kind of what I talked about in that paragraph that you talked about on my website. It's not easy and it's not a quick fix. And it's nice here in 2022 as we're starting to see the fruits of those labors.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really great. I'd love to dive into what maybe some recommendations are for these purpose-driven small businesses. And I'm throwing the nonprofits in there too. Mm-hmm. I think, as I've heard it said, like, you know, every nonprofit usually needs to focus a little bit more on the business side, and every business probably needs to focus more on their like impact side. Right. Like, we can all learn from each other. But for the purpose-driven small business, what are the like non-negotiables or the really good opportunities? What are some like communication things that you think, if you're a purpose-driven small business, here's some things that you should be doing in, you know, quarter one, quarter two of 2022, or planning to start implementing some of these things for marketing?
Yeah. So whenever I meet with someone new, my first question is, how messy is your marketing? And this is more looking at operational of, let's get the operations part of your marketing figured out. Because if your house is not clean, you're not going to be able to function how you should on a marketing level. So, you know, what does your email data look like? What do you have the right people in your email platform? Are you collecting the right data? What are your website analytics looking like? Are you even collecting website analytics? Where are all the passwords to your social media platforms? Who has the keys to the kingdom there? And I can tell you that a lot of small businesses in particular don't know the answers to those questions. And so we try to get that figured out, because nothing is worse than, you know, creating this beautiful marketing strategy. And it's like, well, who has access to Facebook Business Manager, or where's Google Analytics set up, or is it set up correctly on your website? And so that is something that I always recommend to people, you know, whether they're working with me or not, of make sure your marketing isn't messy. You know, just get stuff cleaned up, figure out where things are, do an audit of what's going on. And then the other thing that I talk a lot about is, for small businesses, social media is so important to them, because that's how they get their information out. And a lot of them are saying, well, I just don't know what to post. What do I talk about on social media on a consistent basis? And so one thing that I recommend, just very, you know, quick and easy, is come up with three pillars of content. Your purpose, you know, why are you here? What is your mission? What are you doing on a day-to-day basis? And then add some fun or some personality into your social media. And if you develop content around those three pillars, then you can really start to develop some content that is more consistent. And it's easy. You're not diving into a huge social media strategy, but it at least gives you a good place to start. And then just a third one is, let's figure out some email. I don't love monthly newsletters, as I talked about before, but I think there still is a place for an email newsletter in some organizations. I say not all, but you know, let's focus on social media, do some quick wins there, and then also focus on some email. Let's figure out how we can start talking to people a little bit better.
Right. Are there any resources or like people or influencers that just from like a, how they do it, that you love, or you're learning from, whether it's individuals or books, like who are you getting your communication kind of like inspiration from?
I am a big, follower on social media. And so, and I just follow a crazy amount of accounts, and honestly, no one is, you know, elevating in my mind of a specific person, but I do what I preach to my small businesses is just start following people and figuring out what you like and what you don't like on a variety of platforms. Don't just focus on one. I'm a big, I love LinkedIn. So I follow a lot of marketing accounts, a lot of marketing professionals, and I'm just seeing what they're posting. And there may be some things that I'm like, this doesn't apply to me or my business. This doesn't fit my personality. You know, you can kind of get a base of like, what do I like? What do I not like? How can I fit around this? And so, I always kind of shy away from like, who is that one person that you follow? Or like, who's that guru that you follow kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I'm more of, you know, we can learn something from everything. So just get on there and just really start to dive in and start to soak up what content is out there.
Yeah. And I think that's so important to really be practicing what you're preaching, to actually be like, there's got to be some, I would say, intentional consumption of media. Yeah. I think businesses probably need to be more creators than consumers mm-hmm. of media. But I also think that we can't just sit back in a silo and like not be totally aware. So I think that is a really good practice. As we bring this to a close, I'd love to just hear, you know, what would kind of be some of your initial recommendations? It might go back to, you know, some of the things you mentioned earlier, but for listeners that they're here and they're listening and they're saying, I would fail that messy marketing question. Like, and they're just wondering like, what are some quick, you know, maybe next steps or questions they should be asking themselves?
When it comes to messy marketing, if you're sitting there thinking, oh gosh, I don't know. I just start an audit of where you're at. And that step one is, where's all the passwords? Where are the logins? Who has access to stuff? Is it, you know, 3 employees ago has access to your Facebook business manager or your Instagram account or whatever? And that is always number one place to start, because you won't believe the amount of time that is spent just trying to find that password. So that's a quick and easy win. And then, you know, from an email side, I'm always saying, you know, let's look at the audience. Are we talking to the right people? What does your mailing list look like? And just start looking at your email list, because a lot of times you could probably recognize who. I mean, you know your customers. Like, just look and see who is on that list, and start looking at how they're engaging. Are they clicking on things? Are they not clicking on things? And are they opening it? And so, when it comes to messy marketing, it's not so much about, oh, I'm going to fix this or I'm going to change something. It's just start to get a lay of the land and start to look. You know, if you've got 5 minutes, dive into your MailChimp or your Constant Contact or whatever, and start looking at your data and kind of getting it figured out. It doesn't have to be an hours long process or you're spending all weekend doing it. Just try to get a lay of land now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really good advice, because it can be so easy to get overwhelmed with like all the things that we should be doing. And it's like, just understand your current situation before you do anything else. So I think that's really good advice. Emily, I'd love to give you a chance. Like, who is the right person to reach out to you, and how can they find you for our listeners?
Yeah. So I work with nonprofits and purpose-driven small businesses. And so anyone who's needing help in that space, I would love to chat. Even if you just want to talk about, you know, what we talked about today, I love just kind of shooting the breeze. So, and getting into conversation, not everything is necessarily a sale to me. Sometimes it's just good conversation. So, you can reach me at evergreenstrategic.org, or like I said, I'm on LinkedIn and would love to connect with people.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Emily. This has been wonderful. And to any of our listeners that do fit that bill and are looking for some more intentional, authentic, strategic kind of strategy and advice when it comes to your marketing, I encourage you to reach out to Emily, and her information will be in the show notes below. So Emily, thank you again so much for your time today.
Thank you, Seth. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.